I'm Shelley Schlender, and this is For Your Health. Today, we'll take a look at America's most unpopular health screening test.
There's always going to be people who just say, you're going to put what? Where?
The colonoscopy. Why do health experts want you to get one? Are there any secrets about it that most people don't know? We'll answer these questions and more in a moment. But first, the news.
Health news, that is. Today's focus is on cancer screening tests. The National Breast Cancer Coalition has announced that it no longer recommends regular mammograms. This grassroots coalition has based their decision on peer-reviewed studies in the Lancet Medical Journal that indicate mammogram screenings may not save nearly as many lives as people have thought. They may push women diagnosed with breast lumps toward risky and overly aggressive treatments, and they probably make little difference in overall death rates compared to women who wait to get checkups until they have symptoms of breast cancer, such as a lump, pain, or nipple discharge. If these symptoms are present, the coalition recommends a diagnostic mammogram. To explain their position, the National Breast Cancer Coalition points out that even the smallest tumor discovered by a mammogram has probably been growing for 6 to 10 years. That's plenty of time for a virulent tumor to spread. Radiation and chemotherapy may be appropriate for these virulent tumors, according to the coalition, but they are not always successful even then. Meanwhile, some tumors that are much, much larger may never spread outside the breast. In treating a slow-growing tumor, a woman's health may be better served through simple lumpectomies and by avoiding toxins, such as radiation and chemotherapy, that can harm women's health in other ways. Overall, the coalition says the medical community should do more to use the molecular profile of a cancerous tumor to determine treatment options. The group adds that healthcare dollars are limited. By placing so much emphasis on regular mammogram screenings, we have fewer health dollars left to promote prevention through a healthy diet, exercise, and other lifestyle choices. We also have fewer health care dollars left to make such treatments available to all women diagnosed with breast cancer. Meanwhile, the National Cancer Institute continues to recommend mammogram screenings every year or two for women over 40.
There's more consensus that colon cancer screenings save lives. That's because when detected early, the vast majority of colon cancer is highly treatable through relatively low-risk procedures that do not require chemotherapy or radiation. In contrast, once symptoms of colon cancer appear, such as rectal bleeding or bowel obstruction, usually the disease is hard to treat. Colon cancer screenings are unpopular because they require snaking a tube that includes a tiny camera through the large intestines. An Israeli device may someday make colon cancer screenings easier to swallow. The device is a camera pill. You swallow the pill, and it takes pictures of your digestive tract. The product will be available for the first time later this month at the Digestive Disease Week conference in San Francisco. Unfortunately, it's only cleared for diagnosis of problems in the small intestines, and colon cancer occurs in the large intestines. It may be a few years before the camera pill is good enough to check out that. I'm Jill Rosenblum.
For Your Health, I'm Elizabeth Bailey.
This is a story about a health screening test for your large intestines. This humble organ, also known as the colon, is roughly 6 feet long and about 2.5 inches in diameter. Its main function is water reabsorption. It also produces vitamin K, which aids both blood clotting and bone formation. And we could go on and on like this, but let's face it. If you talk about the large intestines, someone's going to talk back with bathroom humor. Lots of people view the colon as a gas. Not as many realize that it's prone to colon cancer.
It is important to screen for colon cancer. It's the second most common cause of death from cancer in the United States.
Bob Levine is a gastroenterologist at the Boulder Medical Center who says that the only cancer that kills more Americans is cancer of the lung. You can reduce your risk by cutting way back on fast foods, reducing chronic stress, eating tons of vegetables, and getting plenty of exercise. But if you're into the standard American lifestyle, there's a 1 in 12 chance of someday getting this disease.
Very common, very lethal. However, unlike many other cancers, it's also pretty easy to treat if you can catch it early, and especially if you can catch it when it's still in a precancerous state called polyps. Polyps are basically growths in the colon lining that are transforming from normal cell architecture.
If doctors snip out a polyp before it's cancerous, the outcome is usually excellent. The catch is, they're usually only cancer-free if you haven't yet noticed other symptoms.
The key symptoms that might be seen with colon cancer in terms of heavy rectal bleeding, blockage-type symptoms in the gut, abdominal pain, weight loss, severe anemia, are generally going to occur later in the course of the disease when it's possible that the cancer has spread beyond a limited boundary and metastases are possible. So you can't really say we're only going to look at people once they have problems. That's too late.
The Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta say that 1/3 of all colon cancer deaths would be prevented if people did not put off colon cancer screening. But while they recommend that people start these exams by the age of 50, most Americans don't do it. Mammograms and pap smears for women, prostate tests for men, all these tests are far more popular. And the most comprehensive colon screening test is also the least well-liked. It allows a specialist such as Bob Levine to check every inch of the colon's 6 long feet. That test is called a colonoscopy.
There's always going to be people who just say, you're going to put what where?
In a colonoscopy, a tiny fiber optic camera allows doctors to spot polyps in the lining of your large intestines. To get it there, doctors put it in through your rectum. It's painless because you get a Valium-type sedative. The sedative is also a memory blocker, so people don't remember the procedure. Besides, think of angiograms, in which doctors thread a similar device into your bloodstream to check your heart. People respect an angiogram. In contrast, here's a song by Robert Klein.
I don't like getting older. Doesn't seem quite fair. Your memory fades, you need a hearing aid, and you lose your hair. The young men get the women, but I don't give a damn, cause it's something I'd get more often than any younger man. A colonoscopy. It stirs such feelings so deep inside of me.
As an expert on colon cancer screenings, Bob Levine is philosophical about his job.
It's probably a lot easier for people to do their gynecology than to show up in a gastroenterologist's office. There's more social stigmata associated with the gastrointestinal tract than with sexual and reproductive organs.
You have to understand, this is the first colonoscopy expert I had ever met. I didn't realize how many bad jokes these guys endure. So here's how I replied to Bob Levine.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that South Park episode about the alien abductions.
I know you'll be shocked, but I don't watch South Park. I watch hockey and football. That's it for TV. But I watch a channel called GITV. And I get to see your colon on it because I do look at a TV monitor when I'm doing the procedure.
That's GI as in gastrointestinal tract TV, which improves the safety of a colonoscopy by magnifying the view from the tiny camera as it goes through the tunnels of your colon. A healthy colon looks like a pale, corrugated hose. An unhealthy colon's inflamed. The more unhealthy, the longer a colonoscopy takes, sometimes well over an hour. There are simpler screening tests. For instance, labs can check a tiny stool sample looking for blood that in turn warns of colon inflammation. Or you can have a sigmoid scan, which checks half the colon, the sigmoid side. Your large intestines is shaped like an upside-down U, and a sigmoid scan stops before a tricky bend. However, two recent studies indicate that about half the time when a sigmoid scan's clean, there's a polyp further up, and only detectable with a colonoscopy. But a colonoscopy requires more time and sedation. Furthermore, the large intestine is delicate. What Bob Levine describes next hardly ever happens, and the more experienced the specialist, the more rarely it occurs. Nevertheless,
the further you put the instrument in, the more likely you might puncture the colon or tear the colon. That is the
ooh.
Major risk. Yeah, ooh, that's a very good comment there. Interjection, ooh, is one way to describe it. But when you put an instrument to anybody or into any organ, you always run the risk of tearing that organ or putting a puncture wound through it. Also, let's not forget a little thing called money. Most insurers will not cover routine screening colonoscopy. Interestingly, Medicare now will cover routine screening, but for the average non-Medicare patient coming in, they might be looking at around $1,000 to $1,200 charge for a colonoscopy that their insurer may not pick up. A sigmoidoscopy, even if not covered by insurance, is probably around $200, but most insurers will cover that for routine screening. So we can't forget how finances will factor into decision making.
And let's not forget that all these facts and statistics involve real people. People who are sometimes our loved ones and our friends.
Oh, now we can hear.
Oh, there you are.
Your
candy getting bigger.
No. There.
This was my candy striper bag.
What's a candy striper?
A candy striper is like an aid, like a nurse's aid.
That's Kathy, looking through old photo albums with her husband while her kids ask questions and run the video camera. The family has known for months that Kathy has advanced colon cancer.
I was going to marry Paul McCartney, you see, but he married somebody else.
No, okay.
Him? He's ugly.
No,
he's not ugly.
Kathy was 35 when what she jokingly called her tummy problems began. Doctor said it was nothing serious, and since she was so young, they did not order the colonoscopy that probably would have saved her life.
Mom.
Oh, that's good.
Look at
the
TV.
They don't care about us.
By the time her symptoms grew more obvious, the cancer had spread to her liver. She fought back every way she could. In the 3 years before she died, she went to synagogue, saw every school jamboree, applauded all the bands and plays her kids were in on high doses of morphine toward the end. And as she looked through old family albums, she was the star of these videos.
You realize all this time, while I was doing all these things, Daddy was not far away.
No, I wasn't. In fact, in kindergarten.
There he is. Oh, what a handsome guy.
I know that girl.
Bob Levine has seen far too many people who don't get a colonoscopy in time, but he says you have to consider the trade-offs.
For your friend, I'm sure they would have given anything to go back in time and say, I wish I had done more. But I'll give you the corollary. What if your friend had a colonoscopy and had no problems, but had a perforation, a major complication, and had one bad outcome after another and eventually succumbed? What would your argument be then? So I'm not saying one argument is better than the other. It's just that you have to look at both, and then you have to look at the whole population and make a decision that you're comfortable with in terms of your screening.
And I'd better get comfortable telling you something else. I'm 45, which is 5 years younger than the regular time to start colon cancer screenings. But if you've had a relative with colon cancer, you may need an early screening. And I vaguely remembered that maybe my dad had colon cancer, maybe not. I hadn't ever really asked, What do you say? Well, hey, Dad, how's that old colon cancer story go? But Bob Levine said that knowing makes a difference because for a healthy person my age, he recommends a combination of stool test and sigmoid scan, and then if either of those spots something unusual, he schedules the colonoscopy. But when you've already got strange symptoms or an unusual family history, guess what?
If you came in here and said my father had colon cancer in his 40s, I've got blood in my stool, but gee, I don't know. I'm not going to let you leave the room without me making a very strong case that you need a colonoscopy done.
If you want to check your own risk profile, first find out if any close relative has ever had cancerous polyps. If so, take that relative's age at diagnosis and subtract 15 years. According to a lot of experts, that's the oldest you should be when you get your first colon cancer screening. So, for example, did my dad ever have colon cancer, and how old was he at diagnosis?
When I was 55, I had a colonoscopy. They found a polyp, and the polyp proved to be adenocarcinoma, in other words, cancerous. And, of course, they take it out immediately with the instrument. As long as the cancer hasn't traveled down the stem, it's a complete cure. Now, I have had probably 10 colonoscopy since that time. And while I've had polyps, I've not had any that are cancerous. And so it's something that you really take care to make certain that it doesn't recur.
When they found the polyp that was the adenocarcinoma, was it in the area which would have been checked by a sigmoid scan, or was it further up?
Further up.
Moving this story further along, if you subtract 15 years from the age at which my dad was diagnosed, you get 40. I'm 45, which means I was way overdue for a colonoscopy. And when I informed the gastroenterology office, guess what they scheduled? Immediately. Even my insurance company told me to stop procrastinating and do this exam. But now I faced a new dilemma. The statistics favored me getting this exam, but that doesn't mean I wanted it. I found myself wondering, are colonoscopies more painful than the doctors say? Are they much, much more embarrassing? Just what makes them so unpopular?
On the fleet phosphate, simply hold your nose and drink it down in one gulp.
So is that about the worst part of it?
Yes.
Fleet phosphate is my dad's name for a cloyingly sweet fizzy limeade soda and a powerful diuretic. You drink it hours before a colonoscopy so that your intestines will be all cleaned out for the procedure.
Now, as far as problems are concerned, they give you Valium, and you really don't feel it. It's a very simple procedure the way it's done today. And certainly by 50, everybody ought to have a baseline colonoscopy.
You know what worries me the most about this?
What?
They say that when you're under Valium, you say all kinds of things and you don't know what you're saying.
Not to my knowledge. I simply went to sleep.
He had almost convinced me that a colonoscopy is really mundane. But we are talking about the large intestines. So my dad could not resist saying one more thing.
Be certain to keep your mouth closed, otherwise the light might blind surrounding people.
The light from what?
The colonoscopy.
What does that have to do with my mouth?
Well, the light shines all the way through the entire tract, doesn't it? Just keep your mouth closed.
Kurt, and give you some privacy.
Okay.
You're all set.
When I finally handed over my insurance card for the exam, at least the nurse didn't joke about bathrooms, gas, light bulbs, or colons. I felt almost composed until she mentioned the IV drip. Then it sank in that this is an invasive screening test that requires IVs, assistance, and emergency equipment, just in case. And my heart began to pound.
And what I need you to do is change. So I need you to take everything off, top and bottom, and you put this gown on so the opening's at the back.
Okay. Can I leave my t-shirt on?
Is it not really? Because we need to hook up EKG leads to your back.
She explained that the EKG monitors let the colonoscopy team monitor whether I would be getting too much sedative through that IV drip. And the thought that I might be getting too much sedative, well, that was kind of scary.
All right, I'll be right back. You change into that.
Even worse, the center's administrators were scared of my recording equipment. Leaving it behind for the actual procedure was like giving up a security blanket. I tried to stay calm as I laid down on the treatment table. I tried to remember that my risks from avoiding this exam were more extreme than getting it. My veins felt cool as the sedative flowed in, and then... Next thing I knew, I was sitting in an easy chair. And my husband was there to escort me, since you're not supposed to drive while you're still sedated. Back home, I dozed all afternoon. That colonoscopy became no more vivid than a forgotten dream. Adding to my peace of mind, Dr. Levine's office sent a letter stating my colon was perfectly fine and I wouldn't need to do it again for 10 whole years. But now that the whole thing was over, my curiosity kicked in. During the drug-induced amnesia, had they all turned into aliens with those famous alien probes? Had there been a slew of bathroom jokes, or had it just been a bunch of Latin medical terms? As luck would have it, a few weeks later, my little brother flew down from Minnesota for a family reunion. He's 40 years old, and given our family history, that's the perfect age for a colonoscopy. In fact, Chase had just gotten one, and his doctors let him stay awake. He announced this to my dad, my mom, and several sisters, as we sat at my mom's kitchen table.
Colonoscopies, and we're not talking sigmoids. We're talking the full 6 feet.
Oh, Jesus.
Chase.
Did he have you open your mouth and see if he could see the light?
Things were getting rowdy, so Chase and I left the kitchen for a serious discussion. And I promise you, I'll tell you everything that he told me about this rarely discussed exam. Now, different offices have different procedures, and you are not my brother Chase. So your exam may vary somewhat from his. Although you might want his exam, because Chase started out by telling me that his colonoscopy took less than 10 minutes.
The reason why it went so quickly is there were no signs of any cancer or polyps. Basically, I was a clean bill of health. There's all this anticipation that this is, you know, unsightly or uncomfortable procedure that you wouldn't want to even mention to any of your friends. And furthermore, they had scheduled 40 minutes. I was imagining it be a long, drawn-out affair. It was hardly that. In fact, I was startled and amazed when they said, well, there's your appendix scar. And I realized they were at the end, and I said, that's it? Whereupon, they said, that sure is, and they extracted the tube. And I was already rolling to recovery, still amazed that the procedure was done.
Was there anything that was unexpected at the end of the procedure?
Now, that is something they do not explain. They pump gas in, a little bit of air, as they're moving the scope forward. That's so that your colon is straightened out just enough so that it can creep forward to the next bend. Well, at the end of the procedure, there's a bit of a problem. Your intestines are full of air pockets, and you are now required in the recovery room to pass gas, to flatulate in a way that, well, just defies explanation.
Can you explain it nonetheless?
At least for this endoscopy center, which is in Minnesota, as your recovery nurse attends to you, it's explained that you have to pass gas before you can leave. There's no other choice. You have to pass gas within earshot of them so that they know that the gas has been eliminated from your intestines.
And so what was that like?
Well, I mean, modesty and decorum really suggest that you wouldn't engage in such an activity with thin partitions separating each one of the gurneys, Plus, it's not exactly the sort of thing you want to announce next to strangers that you're going to pass some gas. But, you know, the nurse was there and waiting, and after about 10 minutes, finally it happened, and much to my relief, it felt great.
Are we talking about a short little toot, or are we talking something more extensive?
Well, in 6 minutes' time, that's, you know, a fair amount of air that's in that six-foot range for the large colon there. No, it's hardly a small little toot. They're expecting a barrage. A long, longy sort of toot. I think it was more impressive to me, in fact daunting, that when I realized that you had to pass gas, I listened around and you heard so many flatulations and varieties, I just was beside myself, you know, in fear, thinking, oh my gosh, what are those people doing? And I have to do the same thing, join the chorus, if you will.
You mean you were part of an assembly line of colonoscopies and other people in other rooms were also finishing up their procedures?
That's right. And I wouldn't say rooms. It's just this big area with cotton or, you know, thin partition separating each one of the gurney bays. There was a chorus in there. I couldn't swear to it, but I thought the guy next to me was kind of laughing when he passed his gas because, you know, it's not every day that adults are supposed to act like kids in that regard.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, it was painless. Sure, there's a little discomfort from the air being pumped in. And it's not a lot of air, but it's as though you have a little intestinal cramp. But, gee, there wasn't anything bad in that regard. I'm also told that people have different colon anatomies, so some people may be more sensitive to this procedure than others. But on the whole, I was very impressed with the professionalism and the speed of dispatch with which they executed this whole process.
Thanks very much. Anything else you want to report about it?
No, I don't think so. Other than I had great results, I don't need to show up for another 9 years. That's good news.
The Centers for Disease Control say that if more Americans got regular colon cancer screenings, one-third of all deaths from this very common disease could be prevented. For KGNU, I'm Shelley Schlender. That's it for this edition of For Your Health. Tune in again next Sunday at 12:30, right here on KGNU Boulder. Questions or comments? Call the KGNU comment line, 303-447-9911.